Brother Norm, good to see you. Came all the way from Turkey to hear me preach. You knew that was coming, didn't you? Amen. Good to see all of you here tonight. Brother John came all the way up from, where are you at now anyway? Morelia, to hear the Word of God. Amen. We are glad you're here tonight. And I will ask again that you pray for Myung and some of these other ladies that, what was their name again? That gave birth. Christy, yes, yes. You pray for them, especially for Myung's husband, because I think this is a great opportunity for soldiers of charity to work in that man's heart. I think that some of you people ought to visit Myung in the hospital. I think some of you ought to send flowers. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This is how much I think you ought to do. Whatever you is going to give to me, I think, if you were, that is, if you were, you may not have. And after I get done preaching, you may not want to. So, but whatever you is going to give to me, you just take that and buy some flowers and you send it to Myung. And you just put in there that you're praying for her and her family. And maybe God will use that to touch that man's heart and let the gospel work on his heart. Amen. Now, we're halfway through this meeting, and I don't know really how things are going yet. We've been praying for revival. I hope God gives us revival. Amen. And I've been trying as hard as I can to be tender, to be charitable. I've been trying not to offend anybody. I've been really trying. I don't know how well I've exceeded, but I've been trying. And I found a verse in the Bible here today. We're just thumbing through it. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." You looking for some peace? "Great peace have they which love thy law," somebody's already read the end of this verse, "and nothing shall offend them." Now, I thought that was a very interesting verse. "And nothing shall offend them." Now, if you get offended tonight, I'm going to know something about you. Do you understand? If you get offended tonight, I'm going to know something about you. Now, how many people brought their Bibles? Let's see them. I want to see them Bibles. There's not no fun having a Bible inside a cover. I mean, you got to open. If you got a cover, I want to open. I want to see it. I don't know what you got going in there. Now, some of you guys got red Bibles. Watch out, because I think you're holding up a songbook. So be careful. I think we ought to bring our Bibles to church, because it's the Word of God. Amen? Amen. That's why we came here tonight. We didn't come here to entertain. I don't stand a chance entertaining. There's too much TV, too much real stuff out there going on. I don't stand a chance. But we come to hear the Word of God. And I'm going to warn you tonight that I'm going to shoot everywhere. Because I'm going to be talking about religion tonight, see. And if you're worried about getting offended, then you better put your flak jacket on, get your helmet on, and duck. Because I got one of them AK-47s and I'm just going to spray. I'm not really aiming at anybody, I'm just trying to hit everything. I'm going to wield the sword tonight, and you better get, you know, if you want to fight them old types of fights, what are them chain things to put around the chest? Because I'm going to be whacking at you. Mesh. Mail. Email, not email, but mail, you know. I'm not going to deliver anything, but I'm going to swing the sword because I'm going to try to show you something tonight. Look, if you will, in the book of Matthew in chapter 7. We're going to find out what Jesus had to say about religion. Have you ever, I don't know if they have this, I'm sure they do have this saying in English. I know they have in Polish, and I know they have in Spanish. You ever heard this saying, "All roads lead to Rome"? You ever hear that? All roads lead to Rome. I'm trying to figure out what road in America leads to Rome. I was telling some of them brothers down in Mexico when we first went to Poland, they said, some of the brothers, not all of them, a couple of brothers, said, "Isn't that a long drive?" Yes, bro, that's a long drive. Believe me, that's a long drive. But you know what? There's some people in the world that still think all roads lead to Rome. Somebody got deceived. All roads don't lead to Rome. I've been over in Europe and all roads don't lead to Rome. Some roads don't even go in the direction of Rome. Don't even come close. Well, they use that saying today to say something similar. All religions lead to God. Or all faiths lead to God. Or all denominations lead to God. In other words, nobody's wrong and everybody's right. Isn't that the conclusion? In other words, when they say all roads lead to Rome, doesn't matter which road you go on, take it any way you want, and you're going to get there. Isn't that what they're saying, when all roads lead to Rome? And when they say all religions or all faiths or all denominations lead to God, aren't they saying, doesn't matter what church you go to, doesn't matter what you believe something and you're going to find God. Now, let's find out what God in the flesh had to say about that. Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I know that because it's got red letters here in my Bible. I know Jesus speaking. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now that's pretty good advice, right? Now notice, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, mark it down, cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I think we'd better pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would have mercy upon us tonight. I do pray for my young and Christy. I pray that you would bless them and heal them, especially my young who's in somewhat of danger in the sense of maybe losing this baby. We pray that your great physician's hand would reach down and heal. Lord, we thank you for the birth of this little boy of Christie's. We pray that he grow up to be healthy and to serve you and to love you with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul. God, we pray you bless their families. We rejoice with them. And Father in heaven, tonight we pray that lost sinners would come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, those that have been deceived by the deception of the devil, those that have been led astray by lies and falsehoods would come back to the truth. And God, we do pray for revival once again. Oh God, that you'd revive our hearts. More than that, Lord, we pray that you would create within us a clean heart. Oh God, a heart that would love you with all our might and all our soul. Oh God, that we'd love our neighbors as ourselves. And most of all, Lord, we pray that your name would be glorified and exalted this evening. We ask you to bind the devil, let him not have the victory. We pray that you would help us to deny the flesh and not let the flesh raise its head. Oh God, that you'd be exalted. Your son Jesus would be exalted now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now many people tonight believe that what really matters is that you believe in some kind of God and that you be real sincere, and if you do that, that will be sufficient enough to merit heaven. That will be sufficient enough to escape the damnation of hell and enter into the kingdom of God. That's what most people believe in the world today. Now notice what Jesus Christ had to say contrary to the modern way of thinking. You see, according to the world, according to the conception of mankind, perhaps according to your opinion, and you're entitled to your opinion, it's a free country. You're allowed to opinionate. You're allowed to give your opinion. You may think that most people are going to go to heaven, and only the Hitlers and the Stalins are going to end up in hell. You're allowed to think that, but you're a sinner. And this man speaking here is Jesus Christ. He was born without sin, he lived without sin, and he died without sin, and he rose again without sin. See? And here's what he said, and you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, don't you? You claim to believe in. Here's what he said. He said, many, notice verse 13, many there be which go in thereat. Go where? Into damnation. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the first thing we notice about the statements of Jesus Christ is that many are on the road to destruction. Many are on the road to damnation. And brothers and sisters, I tell you tonight, the reason that we packed up our bags and went to Poland was because we were convinced that Jesus Christ was right and that many people were on the road to destruction and few were going to find the way to eternal life. And so we went to a far country to proclaim the gospel to a people that are going the wrong way. And if you ask Brother Norman here tonight why he packed his bags at an older age and went off to Turkey and learned a difficult language and endured some things, I guarantee you he'll say the same thing, that he was convinced that Jesus Christ was right and that many people were on the road to destruction. Now why would anybody in the world go to Turkey? Because they already have religion in Turkey. If you were to ask Brother John tonight why he left the shores of America and crossed the Rio Grande and went into Mexico to preach the gospel, why would you go to Mexico? That country is full of religion. And if all religions lead to God, why bother? I think that if you'd ask Brother John why he went to Mexico, he would stand and say, in agreement with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's convinced that many are on the road to hell. Now that leads us to the only conclusion that we can come to, is if there are two ways, then somebody is on the false way. And somebody is propagating a false religion. You see, if all roads are the same and everything, it's all the same, then there is no falsehood. There are no false prophets. If all religions lead the wrong, if just sincerity counts, then it doesn't matter. Everything's the same. There are no false prophets. Everybody's true. Do you have your Bibles with you tonight? Because we're going to go use the Bible and see what God's Word has to say. Jesus had some more comments. Look in Matthew in chapter 24. Here's what the apostles asked. The disciples of the Lord Jesus asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, picking up about halfway through the verse. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus, notice who's talking, this is Jesus. This isn't Brent Riggs. This isn't Steve Dalross. This isn't some American giving his opinion. This is, and we already talked about the other night, didn't we? This is Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto them, when Jesus speak, we ought to listen. And he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Isn't that what he said? For many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. Now I don't know how many is, but I know that it's more than a few. I figured that out much out. Right? Jesus said, "Take heed." But if all religions lead to God, if every faith is true, then why would you have to take heed? Why would you even bother with road signs? Why would anybody put up a sign that says, "Do not enter"? Wrong way. Why would they bother? All roads lead to Rome. All religions lead to God. Why bother? Everything's the same. But Jesus said, "Take heed." And he, not only that, he said, "You better watch out, because there's some people out there saying that they're the Christ. And they are going to deceive how many? Many. Not a few, many." Look down at verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive," how many? Many. You don't have to believe me. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I would think that we would come to the conclusion, if we really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we really believed what we professed with our mouths and our lips, that Jesus Christ is at the very least a good prophet, an honest prophet, a true prophet. He said, "Take heed, for many shall be deceived." And my friend, if that's true, deception is running rampant across our land. And that we ought to be careful which way we go. Look down at verse 24. "And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." How many of you read your Old Testament? God called up a prophet by the name of Moses, sent him down into Egypt, the type of the world. Called his elect out, called his people out. And he goes up before our king and he says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "I'm not going to let him go. Who are you?" And so Moses throws down a rod and says, "Now that's a sign that God is with me." He says, "Oh yeah, well I got some prophets who can do that too." Do you remember reading that story? Huh? This is what Jesus is talking about. There's going to be false prophets showing great signs in order to deceive the elect. This is Jesus Christ saying, "Beware, beware." Look, if you will, in 2 Peter in chapter 2. Some of you believe that Peter was the first pope. You're entitled to that belief. Understand me. Understand me. What I'm saying tonight. I'm an American by birth. I happen to believe that you have a right to believe anything you want. Did you hear what I said? I happen to believe that you have a right to disagree with me. You have that right. But I also happen to believe that I have a right to disagree with you. We call that religious liberty in America. Now, many countries in the world don't have that liberty. You ask Brother Norm if he can stand up on the street corner like we do in Poland and proclaim Christ as King and the Son of God. But here in America, we have that liberty, and I grant you that liberty. But right now, we're just trying to see what the Scripture says about this subject of religion and faith. Jesus Christ said there shall be many that go down into destruction. And He said there are many false prophets who are deceiving many people. Now, here's Peter. If you happen to believe he was the first pope, I disagree, but you're entitled to believe that. But if you really do believe he was the first pope, then you ought to pay attention to what he had to say, shouldn't you? I mean, if you're honest with your faith, if you're honest and that's what you really believe, unless you're just a hypocrite, unless you're just pretending. But if you really think that Peter was the first pope, well, listen to what he has to say. Look down here in chapter 2 and verse 1. Peter said about this subject, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Notice, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. He said many, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Notice how the first pope talked, according to some of you. I mean, he said some people were going to be damned. He said some people were using feigned words. He called some people false prophets and false teachers with damnable heresies, denying the Lord. You ever hear the present pope talk like that? Now, if you're going to have a pope, that's the kind of pope we ought to have. I mean, if you're going to have a pope, you ought to have a pope like Peter. I mean, he talked straight. Now notice what he said. I thought this was very interesting. He says there were false prophets, but there shall be teachers. Now it's very rare that in our modern society that people call preachers prophets. They call them teachers. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was interesting. And he says many shall follow their pernicious ways. Then he says the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now we have Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, saying that there's going to be many going down the road of destruction, and many shall be deceived, and many false prophets. Now we have the Apostle Peter, who some claim to be the very first pope, saying that, yes, as there were false prophets in times past, there shall be false teachers, who through covetousness and with feigned words will make merchandise of you. You ever go to church where it costs you to get something? Yes, Father, I'd like to be baptized. I'd like my child to be baptized. He was just born. Okay, that's going to cost you. What's the going rate in America? I don't know the rates in America. $25? $30? $50? How much does it cost? It's not free. I mean, if you go to the temple, you go to the church, you're going to have a price list right up there on the wall somewhere. It's not free. It costs you. Huh? Send $10 and we'll give you a free gift. And you know what? You'd be surprised how many people send $10 to get a free gift. Somebody didn't understand what free means in that conversation. Huh? Do you know of people in religious garb that are always asking for money? Can you go through the New Testament and find out where Jesus ever asked for money? When Jesus said, sell what you have, He didn't say, give to me. He said, give to the poor. Did you know that religion today is a money-making machine? Now, that's not what Jesus did. That's not the example Jesus gave. But religion today... Somebody says, why are there so many religions? I tell you why, because there's money in religion. And if you're wanting to make money, you can't talk to people straight, see? So you gotta, with feigned words, make merchandise of them. First you tell them that they don't get baptized, and you scare them out of their wits so they don't get baptized. That precious little baby God is gonna say, he can't come into heaven, send him out! He's not welcome here. And then these dear mothers, you know how mothers are when they get around babies, they get all shook up about that. And then they grab their husband by the ear and say, we gotta get down there and get this baby baptized. And then they find out that it's not free. You got to pay something. She says, pay. Write the check. Pay. 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 And they go through all their lives. And after they're dead, then they come back and make merchandise of the widows. Did Jesus say something about that in Matthew in chapter 23? This is what Peter had to say. Look over in 1 John, the first epistle of John. This is the beloved apostle.
who went with Jesus to the very end. John in chapter 4 and verse 1, notice, this is the beloved apostle. He says, beloved, he's what we call a sweet preacher. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. How do you like it? How do you like it? You like your eggs sunny side up, easy over fried? How do you like them? Huh? We got some that just tell you straight. Some are very nice and sweet, but it all comes out the same. They're all eggs, in a sense. And so here he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. You notice how some of these soft preachers cut? Huh? You really got to be on your toes because they're cutting you all the time. Just using sweet words. And he's telling you the truth here. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, and hell will overcome them. The Apostle John, the beloved Apostle, says don't believe everything you hear. He says try the spirits. You know, I think that's pretty good advice. Amen. Quick, turn over to First Thessalonians in chapter 5. Look down about verse 21. Here's some real good advice. You ought to hang this on your door. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. That's some good advice. Somebody trying to sell you something, prove it. Somebody trying to sell you religion, put it to the test. The Apostle John said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Now why would he say that if all religions lead to God? If all religions lead to God, then you're free. You're free to believe Joseph Smith or whatever Judge Russell had to say or whatever Muhammad had to say or whatever the Pope had to say or whatever some Protestant minister had to say or whatever I had to say. You're just free to believe anything you want. Why would John the Apostle in the Holy Bible? It is the Holy Bible, right? That's what it says on the front. Holy Bible. Santa Biblia. Pismo Święte. That's Polish for Holy Bible. Pismo Święte. Holy. The Holy Scriptures. In the Holy Scriptures it says, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Because some spirits aren't of God. Look over in the 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. Here's a man that God used to write 12, 13 books of the New Testament. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, look down about verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 2. I should be in chapter 3. That was pretty good verses there too. we'll preach that tomorrow night. Alright, now chapter 3 verse 12. Yea, here it is, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, my question to you tonight is, are you living godly? Well, here's the test. If you live godly, he said, you shall suffer persecution. Are you in a religion that's never persecuted? Never been persecuted? Then you're not living godly. But evil men, not good men, evil men and seducers, did you get that? What kind of men? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In other words, it's not getting better and better. It's getting worse and worse. Now what are they doing? Deceiving? And being deceived. But hold the phone, Doc. If all religions lead to heaven and all religions are the same and all the faith there's no difference, then who are these people doing and deceiving? And who are these people getting worse and worse? How could it get worse and worse when you're going to heaven? You have to get better and better. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? You say, how can these things be? It says some are deceiving and then it says being deceived themselves. Hey, no doubt. There are sincere Muslims. I don't doubt that one bit. I don't doubt the sincerity of their faith. I don't doubt that they're sincere. I know, I have met very sincere Roman Catholics. I know they're sincere. I have met some Protestants that are very sincere. I have met Mormons that were sincere. Now, being honest, I've had a hard time finding a sincere Jehovah's Witness, but I'm convinced they're out there somewhere. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Personally, I don't think I've ever met a sincere Jehovah's Witness, but I'm pretty sure that there are some out there somewhere. And I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just telling you what people that I've met. And I've met a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, sad to say. You see, sincerity's good if it's all going along with truth. If they're walking together. If truth and sincerity are walking together, that's a pretty good couple. I know some people who have truth but without sincerity. And I know some people that have sincerity without truth. I think they're both in error. I think you ought to have truth and sincerity. Sincerity and truth. They walk together. I read of a man. That he was a preacher. If I called his name, some of you might know. His name was John R. Rice. I think you even have a tract out here in the back here. He was written by John R. Rice. John R. Rice was up in the state of Alaska preaching. This was years and years ago. And he was driving from Alaska with another preacher. And they were coming back from Alaska to the lower states. And they had to drive through Canada. And I don't know if you've ever been up on that road, but I understand it's a long stretch. It's a long way between gas stations. Well, they had an agreement. Brother John, he's going to drive for 6 hours because they preached at the end of a revival meeting, much like this. And you know how you get out late at night? So it was the last night and Sunday night, but they had to get back and get to this next meeting. And so after the meeting, about 9, 10 o'clock, they took off. And Brother John said, I'll drive for the first 6 hours. Then you can sleep in the back, and then we'll get up and you can drive this for the next 6 hours. And they agreed, and the brother got in the back. Brother John's driving. Sure enough, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, pulls in the gas station, says, okay, brother, it's your turn. Brother gets in the car, drives off. He drove for 6 hours, wakes up Brother John, and guess where they're at? Right back where they started from. You see this, brother? He just got woke up, forgot which way was which, made the wrong turn, and drove for 6 hours in the wrong direction. Now, what do you think? What do you think he was doing there? I'm going to get this, Brother John. I'm going to drive 6 hours in the wrong direction. You think that's what he was trying to do? I think he was sincere. He was sincerely wrong. He was going the wrong way. And so I tell you tonight, there are some sincere Roman Catholics. I don't doubt it a bit, but they're going the wrong way. There are some sincere Protestants that are going the wrong way. That's what Jesus said. There are some sincere Muslims that are, no doubt they're sincere. No doubt at all. They're going the wrong way. How do I know? Because Jesus, that good man, said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the way to God never has been through religion. Amen. The way to God isn't through Oak Knoll. The way through God to God is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. Are you looking for the door to heaven? Jesus Christ is that door. But see, we have a problem here today. We have this conception in the hearts and minds of many people today that all religions are the same. And that what really matters is you're sincere. I was telling Brother Leonard today, on the headlines of one of the major papers in Poland, a Roman Catholic priest wrote an article that says, atheists now can go to heaven. That's what the article said. And then you read the arguments of this Roman Catholic priest. He says, well, if he's sincere, and he does his best, and he tries real hard, even though he doesn't believe in God, he can go to heaven where that God he doesn't believe in lives. I don't know how that would work out, but that's what he said. Hey, don't you know there's some atheists out there that are sincere? They sincerely don't believe. Huh? I was passing out some tracts on the tramby. That's like a trolley car. Electric. Passing out some gospel tracts. And this man says to me, says, I don't want that gospel tract. I don't want that. Says, I don't even believe in God. I'm an atheist. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And since I'm so kind and I'm sweet, I didn't grab him by the back of his hair and say, you gotta take this tract. I just said, okay. But then he got to notice that everybody else was taking it, reading, and he was getting left out. He said, well, maybe I'll take that track after all. I said, well, I thought you was an atheist. He says, I am, but we can read too, you know, so fucking all right. Have at it. So he sits there and he reads this track. He says, he got to read it. He really got interested. The name of the track was The Difference Between a Catholic and a Christian. And it just caught his eye for some reason. He just thought that was very interesting. He began reading it. He says, hey, come over here. I want you to sit down and talk to me. And so I began to talk to him. And began taking God's name in vain. You know how people do it. God damn this and God, you know. I said, excuse me, sir, I don't mean to be rude or anything. He says, but I thought you said you was an atheist. He said, I am. I said, who are you asking to damn all this stuff then? And he scratches his head and says, oh, I haven't thought about that. Huh? I talked to another one of them birds, called himself an atheist. I said, well, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, go ahead. I said, who do you think? I mean, if you don't believe in God, who do you think? He said, what do you mean? I said, you look like a healthy man, or who do you thank for your health? I mean, when you sit down to eat, somebody provided you food, who do you thank for that? He says, well, I thank myself. And I said, oh, I misunderstood you. I thought you said you're an atheist. I understand. You're an egotist. You're not an atheist. You're an egotist. And I said it sweetly, with much charity. But look, if you will, in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings in chapter 22. I probably ought to read this whole chapter, but I don't know if we're going to have time. There was a wicked king by the name of Ahab. Don't know if there was a more wicked king than Ahab. He was really wicked, right? He was wicked. There was another king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And old Ahab decided that there were some people out there that he ought to go conquer, right? And so he got together. But see, Ahab, he had religion too, see? 1 Kings chapter 22. You can be reading it. And so old Ahab says, you know, we ought to cover our bases here and call all the prophets in and see what they got to say about this. So he called up all the prophets. I think it was about 400 of them. Got them in there. And they said, they really put on a show. This one prophet was named Zedekiah. And old Zedekiah, man, he was some type of showman. I mean, you know, he knew how to do the mimes. And he knew how to paint his face. And he knew how to do everything. He got him some horns. He says, I'm telling you, you guys are gonna neglect this horn, you're gonna run them people out of the country. I mean, he really had this king's attention. I mean, he was really doing it. Right? And so, yeah, well, that sounds good. Man, what king doesn't want to hear they're going to win the battle? Huh? Well, Jehoshaphat, well, he was a pretty good king. And he says, well, something don't jive here. I mean, how can we get all these guys together and they're all in agreement? He says, I think we ought to, don't you have another prophet around here? And Ahab says, yeah, we got another one. His name was, what is his name? Micah? Micaiah? What would you prefer? Micah or Micaiah? We can't even agree on that, can we? All right, I'm going to call him Micaiah. All right? Now, in Polish, I think we call him Micah. All right? But, well, I call him Micaiah. So, Micaiah, this King Ahab says, yeah, but, you know, I got this prophet. His name's Micaiah. Some people call him Micah, but, you know, I got this prophet here. And every time he preaches, you know, he lacks charity, see? He doesn't love me like them other prophets do. I mean, you know, Hey, there's something wrong with him. He's always saying bad things about me. I don't like him. I don't like him. Is that what the chapter says? If you read it, are you reading it, right? So they call him up and say, would you come to our meeting? We're having an ecumenical meeting. I mean, we got Protestants here, we got Catholics here, we got Jews here, we got Muslims here, we got Buddhists here, we got Hare Krishna here, we got Jehovah's Witnesses, we got Adventists. I mean, one for every crowd. He said he had 400 prophets. I mean, he had one from every church. Every religion is represented. Even that old-time religion, because, you know, Micaiah, he came from the old-time religion. So he comes up there, and the head honcho of them prophets, maybe this was the old-time pope, I don't know, but the head honcho, comes up to him and said, listen, we got a good thing going here. Now, we've already preached, and we're all in agreement, and we believe in unity and charity and love and sincerity, and we believe all that stuff. Don't you come ruin this. Now, we got religious harmony here. We don't want no religious wars. We don't want nobody fighting like they do over there in Northern Ireland. We don't want no Bosnias here. We don't want no World War II down there in Serbia and all them times. No, we don't want no problems here. No, no, no problems we got over the Middle East. Now, we want peace, 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 peace. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith to me, that will I speak. Now, isn't that the kind of prophet you want?
Amen.
I mean, if you're looking to find the will of God, don't you want somebody who's going to tell you what the Word of God says?
Amen.
You and I heard there's some people in America, the United States of America, your country. You are Americans, right? Everybody's here in America. In this country, there are people that go to church and they never hear a verse out of Scripture. They're told history stories. Now, that is a shocker. I mean, you could go to a Kingdom Hall and hear some scriptures. You can go to a Mormon tabernacle and hear some scriptures. But you got some churches in America that claim to be Christian, and you can go there and not hear any scriptures. All you're going to hear is a history story or hear a moral lesson. There's something wrong. That's why I said, how many people got their Bibles here tonight?
Amen.
And so Micaiah, he says, well, whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to say. Now, that's my kind of man. That's my kind of prophet. And if I was going to go to a church somewhere, that's the kind of preacher I'd be looking for. That's going to tell me what God had to say. Don't give me your opinion. Don't give me your tradition. I don't want to hear your viewpoints on history. Tell me what God has to say. You see, it's God that's going to be judging. And so that was the kind of prophet this Micaiah was. And so he goes up to the king, and the king says, well, these other guys said that we're going to win this battle. What do you got to say? And so these guys that tell it like it is, sometimes they get just a little bit sarcastic. I mean, that's what happened here. Look, he says, yeah, that sounds good to me. Go and prosper. I got to go. I got a lunch date. He says, man, you know, I was kind of busy, you know, and you guys called me up in this ecumenical minute. Whatever they say, you know, go ahead, go prosper. Is that what he said? Well, King Ahab says, now, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now this Ahab, he knew when something was up when this Micaiah just said something good about him. He said, that man has never blessed me, not one time. And I know something's wrong. Now I want you to tell me like it is. Now it's very interesting. That's what people profess to say. They say that all the time. I want you to tell me, just give it to me straight. Do tell him how it is, and off to jail you go. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. If you read the story, that's exactly what happened. And so Micaiah says, okay, I'm going to tell you how it is. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? See, you can't win. You can't win for losing, see. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Now going on, see. If you want somebody to tell you it like it is, they're going to go on. And he's going to tell them a little bit more. And he said, hear thou therefore, I'm down about verse 19. Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and one said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. You see, we got some things going on in the spirit world that we just don't know about. And God just sort of pulled this Micaiah just pulled the curtains back just a little bit and let us get a peek into eternity and see what's going on that we don't know about. See, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. You know what Micaiah just said? Zedekiah's a liar. Did you get it? In case some of you missed it, put your hand over your head like this. If you got, you know, maybe you got two hands, put it like that. I'm going to tell you again. He just called all them prophets a liar. So they lied to you. When he put on that fancy hat and them horns on it and he did all that stuff, he was just putting on a show. It was all fake. He lied to you. Now, how can that be? All religions lead to Rome. I mean, all religions lead to heaven. Everything's the same. How can it be lying? You know some people? Go and prosper. Go and prosper. Peace, peace. Go and prosper. Do whatever. God's going to bless. God's going to bless. Whatever you do, God's going to bless. Well, this one prophet stands up and says, they're liars. Now, who are you going to believe? You got 400 on this side. And you got this sarcastic prophet over on this other side. Right? That's the situation. If I describe the situation, you got 400 prophets over here, all in agreement. Represented from all, I mean, this is opinion from all religions. I mean, they gave an opinion from every side. Right? And then you have this sarcastic prophet over here that said, no, they're all the liars. Who are you going to believe? I would say that Micaiah was sort of a bold type of preacher. That's pretty bold. I mean, walk in a nest like that and said, no, they're all liars. Then tell the king he's not going to prosper. You know, sometimes they kill the messengers just because of the message. Even though that king says, I adjure thee, tell me all the Lord has spoken. Well, sometimes they're just saying that. See, they're not really meaning it. Well, now we're going to find out who's who. Look down at verse 24. Micaiah just said, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And that's including Zedekiah. But Zedekiah was that what the world calls charitable side. I mean, he was sweet and he was kind. He was prosperity type of preacher. Now we're going to find out what he's really like. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, he was his son.
And he went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Now, isn't it amazing how violent what the world calls these loving preachers get? Isn't that amazing? Fairly rare. I've been preaching the gospel for 24 years. I've been hit a few times. I've been stoned a few times. I've been spit on a few times. I've been lied about a few times. Very rarely, I can probably count it on this hand right here, the amount of times where some old hippie with tattoos and big old, you know, motorcycle gang type guy, some dreaded guy that came up and hit me because I was preaching the gospel. Some guy that you would expect that type of thing to come from. Very rarely. And most of the time they were just, you know, two sheets to the wind. I mean, they just had too much drugs or too much something and they didn't even know where they're at. They didn't know what they were doing most of the time. Now I want to tell you, the people that have done, it's amazing how a religious crowd likes to slap people in the face. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? Yeah. Then priests went up to our Savior and just slapped him right across the face. And Micaiah tells him the truth, tells him the word from the Lord, and this religious man goes up and slaps him right across the face. Next time Bill Kincaid's up here, you get him to tell the story. We're out there preaching the gospel. We didn't know we was preaching in front of the priest's house. Sincerely, we did not know. We was in front of the priest's house. I didn't even know the priest had a house. I thought they were supposed to sell all they had and give to the poor. I thought they took a vow of poverty. So I didn't know the priest had a house. And so we were preaching in front of the priest's house. Well, people didn't like that. Of course, we found this out later. And so we were preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. The door to heaven. The way to heaven. The Savior of sinners. Well, this religious crowd didn't like that. And they came up to us and they said, well, what about Mary? You've been preaching about this Jesus. What about Mary? Well, she was a nice lady. I mean, she's blessed among women. But she herself said you ought to do everything her son said.
That's right.
That's what she said. And beside that, the Bible says Jesus is the only mediator. Whop! Right across the face. Bill's glasses went flying. And of course, Bill without his glasses is blind as a bat and he's out there. And he says, now why'd you go on doing that? No, because you're supposed to love our mother. Don't you talk bad about my mother. Don't you say anything bad about my mother. Now this woman went to church, was baptized, partook of sacraments, believed in God, had religion. All religions lead to God, don't they? What's she getting so upset about? I mean, what's she all upset about? Slapped him about four or five times, right across the face. Joe and I were preaching over there in Poland, and this religious woman that was baptized, partook of all the sacraments of grace, faithful to the church. She was in the Roman Catholic Church. She was just faithful as can be. Her is out there. We hadn't even started preaching yet. We're just passing out tracts. And she began to ask us our faith. What religion are you? So, well, we're Christian. No. What religion are you? So, well, we really don't have a religion. We're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. Quit lying to me. Tell me what religion are you? Excuse me, ma'am, but we don't have. He said, are you Roman Catholic? No, we're not Roman Catholic. Well, why aren't you Roman Catholic? Well, we disagree with Roman Catholic. Well, why do you disagree with Roman Catholic? Well, we think that a lot of Roman Catholics are just bad. Slap! Right across the face. This woman had all the sacraments. She'd been baptized. She'd been confirmed. She'd been married in the Catholic Church. She had been to Mass. She had prayed to the saints. Slap! She goes, isn't it amazing how these people like to slap people? I never slapped anybody. Well, except for my boys when they got out of line. But that wasn't a religious argument. Isn't that amazing? And so, old Zedekiah smacks him across the face. And Micaiah says, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. Yeah, watch out, bud. Watch out. Go ahead and hit me now. But one day, the revenger of blood is going to hit you. Go ahead. Throw them firecrackers at me now. It's all right. Go ahead. Pitch them bottles. Go ahead. Scratch my face up. Go ahead. Pitch them stones. One day, God that keeps account, he's going to pay up. And so the king gets all upset. And says, put this fellow in the prison. And Micaiah said, you know, once you give him a free, once you say, tell us what the Lord had to say, Micaiah, he's not shutting up, he's just going on, see. He says, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you, listen up. And so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead, and the king of Israel, and it goes on. Now, that is the strangest verse. Why in the world would they do that? Well, they just called this prophet in and asked him to tell him what God said. And this prophet tells him, here's what God said. If you go up there, you're going to die. You're not going to come back. And then it says, so the king of Israel, and they went up. That just don't make sense to me. Somebody says, what does the Bible say about marriage? Alright, here's what the Bible says. And they do just the opposite. What does the Bible say about raising children? Here's what the Bible says about raising children. And they do just the opposite. What does the Bible say about this subject? And you open up the Bible and you show them what the Bible says, and they do just the opposite. I don't understand. But my Bible says many. Now, if you was the king, who are you going to believe? Some of you here tonight are in the same shoes as those kings were. You've heard 400 opinions from one side, all in agreement saying, you gotta work your way to heaven, you gotta earn your way to heaven, you gotta do good, you gotta be baptized, you gotta be faithful, you gotta be sincere, you gotta do all this, just about the same message. And you heard it all your life. And then you got this one over here saying, they're liars. They're liars. They're not telling you the truth. They're deceiving you. And what do you do with that one? You slap him across the face. We don't believe you. Well, old King Ahab got an arrow in the chest. Yeah, we can talk about that some other time. Look over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. I'm telling you, the majority is not always right. And if Jesus was right in what he had to say, the majority is wrong. And you know what, my friends? Maybe I'm wrong. That's a possibility, isn't it? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the false prophet. But you and I know. You and I know. Maybe I don't have the answer. I think I do. I sincerely believe I do. I'm convinced that I do. I'm persuaded that I do. And I'm trying to persuade you that I'm right. But you know what I know? If I was going to the biggest religion, I'd get out of it. I know the biggest one's not right. Because Jesus said, many are going to destruction. Jesus said the majority are wrong. Didn't the majority vote for Mr. Clinton? Well, 43%. Huh? Majority are wrong many, many times. And especially when we deal with this subject. Jesus said that many are wrong and the few are right. So if I was in the biggest religion, I know for sure that one's not right. Maybe I'm not right, but I know that big one's not right. I'd find something else if I was you. That's just my opinion. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Have you found it? 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Look down about verse 13. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking again. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I want to tell you tonight that the devil is in the business of deceiving people. And the devil has never showed up looking like the devil. Not one time in all of history has he showed up looking like the devil. He always shows up looking better than he is. He always shows up pretending that he's not something that he is not. And the Bible says that he shows up sometimes as false apostles and sometimes as angels of light. And if your religion is based on somebody saying, well, we saw this angel of light, I'd be scared. Amen. And when them old Mormons, nice young men, nice young ladies, they are just sweet as can be. I mean, they are just sweeter than sweet. Just kind. And when they come knocking on our door and they say, our prophet saw an angel and gave him another book. I don't know about you, but that just scares me. Huh? And when old Juan Diego down there said he saw an angel show up and he called her La Virgen de Guadalupe, I am getting a little bit concerned. And I really get concerned because I went over to Poland because Juan Diego, he saw this virgin and she just white, 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 white. You ever see a picture of La Virgen de Guadalupe? She's white. Got over to Poland, and the same Roman Catholics of the same religion that have the same head, John Paul II, the head of that church, calls himself the Pope, the head of the church. They got over there, and they told me that St. Luke, having conversed with a virgin, did a portrait of her, painted her. And he painted her black, or brown, dark brown. Hey, if you're a Roman Catholic and worship and honor and praise and pray to the Virgin, you got some real problems here tonight. Because you got a Roman Catholic down in Mexico saying this angel of light appeared unto him and claimed to be the Virgin Mary and she's whiter than white. And then you got Roman Catholics over in Poland, that's where the Pope's from by the way, over there saying that St. Luke conversed with a virgin, you know, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. Had her sit down and he painted her picture and she's brown. You understand the problem? You got some problems. And the Apostle Paul says that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now why would he do that? Because he wants to deceive you. He don't ever come knocking on your door and say, hello, I'm the devil. I've been a murderer from the beginning, and I'm fixing to murder somebody around here. Hello, I'm old Slewfoot, and I'd like to lie to you today. Would you like to believe this lie, or how about this lie? No! He puts on his best suits and his best robes and his best manners, and he finds the slickest words, and he talks to you smoothly. Sometimes he puts some horns on his head, and he says, yeah, you're going to prosper. You're going to run him right out of there. Yes, sirree. Better be careful. You better be careful. The Apostle John said, beloved, believe not every spirit. You better try the spirits. Look down in verse 4 in the same chapter. The Apostle Paul, this is St. Paul. You know St. Paul? This is St. Paul in verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. What's this? Another Jesus? Hey, there was only, the Virgin Mary gave birth to one Jesus, right? Is that what the Bible says? There's only one Jesus. But the Apostle Paul says, there's some people running around preaching another Jesus. Did you know that you can read your Bibles and the Bible tells you the character and the life and the death and the sufferings of Jesus Christ? Tells you who He is and what He did and how you can have eternal life in Him? But you got some people around here preaching a Jesus you don't find in the Bible. You got some people teaching about a Jesus that never said woe. Never talked about hell. If I read my Bible right, and if I counted the verses right, it seemed like Jesus spoke more about hell than any other prophet put together. Amen. But you got some people running around here saying there is no hell. Now what kind of Jesus is that? And he never said woe. And he never called anybody, religious people, Pharisees and chief priests and scribes and Sadducees. He never called them whited sepulchers. He never said they were a generation of vipers. Those are quotes from Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. But you got some people running around in America today, in San Antonio, Texas today, that have another Jesus. Some people got a Jesus they carry around their neck. Now you read about the Jesus in the Bible and he hung on a cross for a little while. That's true. Some wicked men with wicked hands nailed him to a cross. Smote him on the face and nailed him to a cross. Yeah, he was on the cross for a little while. But he came down off that cross.
Amen.
And they put him in the grave and he came out of the grave, see?
Amen.
But you got some people that have a Jesus still hanging on the cross. And if your Jesus is still hanging on a cross, he's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
Some of you sitting here tonight got a Jesus sitting up in your home. And he's in the arms of a woman. Now there was a time when the Jesus of the Bible was in the arms of the Virgin Mary. Oh yeah, there was a time. Yes, that's true. But he didn't stay there. See, he grew up. But some of you got a Jesus that's still in the arms of this woman. And some of you got a Jesus that has to do exactly what his mother said. Some of you got a Jesus that is dominated by his mother. Some of you believe in a Jesus whose mother has more power than he does. Because you believe if it wasn't for her, he'd come back and smite you and destroy you right now. Did you know Jesus does whatever he wants?
Amen.
He can do anything he wants. And if he wants to come here and smite you, not the Virgin Mary, not St. Peter, not St. Paul. If all the apostles got together and pleaded with him, they're not going to convince him. If he makes up his mind to do something, he's going to do it because he's God.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said there's another Jesus. Not the Jesus, the true Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. That's deception, see? Did your daddy ever tell you not to take a wooden nickel? Don't ever accept a $3 bill? Huh? Be careful of counterfeits. Some of you got some... Hey, I've seen some of these. Some of you got some new bills and... And I don't know, the Lincolns or whatever, I don't know whose head it is. I forget. Maybe it's a Grant. I mean, head got real big now. You ever seen one of them things? First time I thought, I said, what is this? This is a toy, man. Somebody trying to con me. Huh? You're supposed to try to prove all things. Hold fast that which is true. I'm glad they got one of the machines you can put in there and see if it's true or false, you know. But I saw that and I said, oh, somebody's pulling a joke on somebody around here. Ha, 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 April Fool's, right? Now give me a real one. What? Now why do they do that? Because there's counterfeits in the world. Because somebody's lying. Somebody's got a print machine that's making some fake ones. But how can that be? All religions lead to God. There's no falsehood. Isn't that what this world believes? Isn't that what some of you believe? Shame on you. But the Bible says there's some that are going about preaching another Jesus. And some have received another spirit. I know some people that they would swear on a stack of Bibles saying that they received the Spirit, and they're muttering words that can't be muttered. And they call that the Spirit of God. And yet, when they go to Poland or when they go to Mexico, they say they have the gift of tongues like it is in the Bible. And yet, when they go to Mexico or they go to Poland in order to preach the gospel, they say they have the gift, and I'm lacking the gift and you're lacking the gift. We have the gift of tongues like it is in the Bible. They got to go to language school. That is the strangest thing I ever did see. Well, you know, they say we only have the tongue of angels. We don't have the tongues of men. Now, why would God give you the tongue of angels when you're going to Poland to preach the gospel? Why wouldn't He give you the gift to speak Polish? There's just something just not straight there. And He says that, and some received another gospel. Look over in Galatians in chapter 1. Look down in verse 6. Paul says, this is St. Paul. St. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And now listen to what Paul says. But though we or an angel from heaven, hello, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said, therefore, say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There are some people, if I read my Bible right, that are perverting the gospel. That means they are taking something that is pure and making it not pure. You know, there's some people that pervert sex. Sex is pure and holy. The marriage bed is undefiled. That's what the Bible says. God invented sex, but it's for the marriage bed. And some of you young people tonight have perverted it. And some of you old timers have perverted it. Well, the Apostle Paul, St. Paul says, they took that pure gospel, that gospel that is able to save and redeem sinners, and they perverted it. They've taken the gospel of the grace of God, where God in His mercy grants grace to wicked sinners, and they say these sinners have to merit it. And that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was not sufficient. And they become God's helpers. Yes, they believe Jesus died on the cross, but that wasn't enough. We have to have 7 sacraments to fulfill what He didn't finish on the cross. We have to help Him out by keeping the commandments. We have to help Him out by doing good. We have to love God with all our minds and all our heart. And my Bible says it's not of work, lest any man should boast. Look in Romans in chapter 11. You see, here's the dividing line. Here's the 400 on one side. You mark it down. I'm going to name them all. I told you I was going to shoot. I'm spraying. If I missed you, forgive me. I did not mean to miss your religion. Jehovah's Witnesses, Adventists, Mormons, all the Protestants, Methodists, all of them, Episcopals, all of them, Presbyterians, all of the Protestants, Pentecostals, all of the Protestants, Roman Catholics, Muslims, Hare Krishna, did I say Adventists? Hindus, Jews, all of the religions of this world, and I'm talking about religion, say that if you want to go to heaven, you got to earn it. And I'm putting what they say in a nutshell. They define what is good. Understand, they just define what is good different ways, but this is what they're saying. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's what they say. All of the religions. And if you ever stand up and say and read a verse like Ephesians 2:8-9, where it says, for by grace are you saved, they'll say it through faith and then not of works. They'll say, no, that's not right. You have to work. You have to earn it. Now that's all. Now there's a few old time preachers like Micaiah who will stand up and say it's by grace. Look at Romans in chapter 11. Romans in chapter 11, we're going to read a verse, and this ought to clear things up for you. And verse 6, here's what it says. If by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, you have to make up your mind. If it's by works, then it's not of grace. It's not works and grace. It's grace alone or works alone. Now, you're free to choose. You're free to choose. If you really believe that it's by works, then you better get working. You understand me? If you're really convinced the Roman Catholic way, I mean, that's the way to do it, then I would suggest you get to keeping all them sacraments. Amen. I would suggest you get to Mass just as many times as you can. I would suggest you get down there every Friday and you confess all your sins to the priest. And I would suggest that you do it sincerely. If that's what you really believe. But my Bible says it's by grace. And the Apostle Paul, St. Paul wrote down in the Word of God, he said there's some that pervert that gospel of grace. And then he says, let them be accursed. You better watch out. Yeah, but what is truth? That's what Pilate asked. What is truth? How are we supposed to know? I mean, we got 400 prophets over here saying one thing, and then we got a minority over here, a real minority, just one saying another. Who are we supposed to believe? I mean, the easiest way out is just go with the majority. That's what most people do. They just flow wherever people go. Doesn't matter what they're doing, they're just going to go with the flow. Look in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Here it is. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Paul said in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of the opinions of men, not the holy counsels of men. Thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, now watch it, which are able, what are able? The scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, are you interested about salvation? My Bible says that you can find out about salvation by the Scriptures. My Bible says that even as a child, you can understand these things. Some of your religion tonight, children have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you see, son, this piece of bread, when the priest says the words over, it changes. It's no longer bread. I know it looks like bread. It feels like bread. It tastes like bread. But it's no longer bread. It's actually the body of Christ. And that child is standing there, what are you talking about? They make it complicated. They make it complicated. Well, if you really want to get to heaven, you've got to make a pilgrimage at least once in your life to where? The Mecca. Right? At least once in your life. Can you imagine 7-year-old child trucking off to Mecca? Can you imagine that? Making it complicated. He says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. Is that what it says? No, it's not. You better be careful. That's not what it says. I'm sorry. I caught you. Because that's what a lot of people think. Through faith. If you just believe, only believe. If you just believe in God, doesn't matter which God, just believe through faith. I have faith. What makes you think my faith is worse than your faith? I have faith. Notice what it says. Faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You better be careful. You better be careful. Because not any faith will do. It has to be faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's not faith in Buddha. It's not faith in Muhammad. It's not faith in Joseph Smith. It's not faith in an angel. It's not faith in the saints. It's faith in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. That's why I ask you during the revival meeting, how many people have their Bibles? That's why I ask you, turn to the book of 2 Timothy or turn to the book of Kings and we're going to read the Scriptures. I want you to see what the Scriptures have to say. And if I say something that does not line up with the Scriptures, then don't believe me, believe the Scripture. If you don't, you say, well, everyone has their own interpretation. Fine, how do you interpret it? Do not tell me that you're interpreting the Bible if you have never read the Bible. I can understand that you've read the Bible, you're sincere, you're studying, and you come to a different conclusion. I can understand that. I respect that. Doesn't mean I agree with you, but I respect you. All right, fine. Go by it. Go by the Scriptures. Try to understand them and be sincere with truth. Not without truth, with truth. And if the Scriptures speak against tradition, throw your tradition out the door.
Amen.
Look in the book of Mark in chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 7 and verse 6. Here's Jesus Christ speaking again. You believe in Jesus, don't you? And Jesus answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias the prophesied of you hypocrites. Nice man. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. And here's the problem tonight. People reject the commandment of God that they might keep their tradition. Now, I can understand, I can sympathize with a man who was brought up in a religion that taught him that they ought to call their religious leader father,
Taught since a very little child. They've grown up to manhood, and that's all they've ever heard. That's all they've ever been taught, and they're sincere, and that's what they do. I can understand that. I can understand that. But what I don't understand was when that same man with these lips says, I believe the Scriptures. I believe the Holy Bible. And you open up that Holy Bible and you read the words of Jesus Christ. And that man that was brought up with that tradition. And that man that says with his lips, I believe the Bible. Reads over there in Matthew in chapter 23 where Jesus said, call no man father. For one is your father. Even God was in heaven. I don't understand how they could continue in the tradition. We are preaching. Joe and I were preaching in Poland, in southern Poland, down with the border of, almost the border. We can almost throw a rock across the border of, with Germany. And there were six, this was the Woodstock of Poland. Do y'all remember the Woodstock back in the early 70s? This was the Woodstock of Poland. 60,000 kids. And they got this new dance you would not believe. I thought, you know, it was in Africa or something. I mean, they're just jumping up and down. That's all they just jump up and down. That's how they dance. And had the music just blaring. But there was Hare Krishnas there. Now, Hare Krishnas pretend that they believe the Bible. The Bible's also a holy book. And so we went into their little temple that they had set up, and we said, and it was amazing because we had Roman Catholics there also. They were, you know, just interested in what these Hare Krishnas were doing. They were all dressed up in their orange robes, and they all had their head shaved and whatnot. And they had this altar there under their gods, or this Hare Krishna. And so we asked them, because we asked one of their teachers. Then Peter said that there was false prophet, and there shall be among you false teachers. Well, one of the teachers came to us. And we said, don't you guys profess that you believe the Bible? Oh, yes, the Bible is the holy book. Yes, it's a holy book. That's what you profess, right? Yeah. Well, we'd like to ask you a question. How come you don't believe Exodus chapter 20? Well, what do you mean we don't believe Exodus chapter 20? Well, let's just read it. Exodus chapter 20, let's look at it. You got your Bible? It's the second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. You ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Huh? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. And now we got a big crowd, see? And these Roman Catholics were gathering around. And these Hare Krishna were gathering around. We got a big crowd there because we're questioning these men. So don't you profess to believe the Bible? Yeah. Then what do you have these images here for? Well, they help our faith and they help us to remind us of and whatnot. And the Catholic said, yeah, well, what about that? And we said, well, here the Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And we asked this, well, what do you got to say about that? Well, you have to understand that our faith, and they went on this long. You see, wait a minute, but the Bible says you're not allowed. You're not allowed to make images and bow down before them and serve them and honor them. You're not allowed to do that. And all them Catholics were saying, yeah, what about that, you Hare Krishnas? What about that? You're not supposed to be doing that. And about halfway through the conversation, they got this big question mark look on their face. It was really interesting. Some of you Catholics ought to think about that. But you say they had the tradition. My Bible says faith does not come by looking at an image. That's sight. My Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You want to have faith, get in the Scriptures and God will give you faith. True faith. But they had traditions. We ask those Hare Krishna, don't you believe? Don't you believe that if you don't reach the Kadam or whatever it is, the enlightened state, that you're going to die and come back as something else? And that's why you don't eat animals and whatnot, because you're afraid that might be somebody that died and come back. Isn't that what you believe? Yeah, that's what we believe. We believe in reincarnation. In fact, the national papers were going around and the radios and TVs were going around asking people all over Poland, do you believe in reincarnation? And they'd do an interview right on TV. They interviewed Joe and I a couple times. Do you believe? No, we don't believe in reincarnation. We believe in the resurrection. Amen. My Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. Hello. Amen. And after this, the judgment. How many times are you going to die? Once. Now, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to make up your mind tonight. If the Bible is right, it says once to die, then the Hare Krishnas are wrong. There's no middle road. Because the Hare Krishnas say that you die and then you come to life. And then you die and then you come to life. And you die and you come to life. They die many times. But the Bible says you die one time. And at that, the judgment. You're going to have to make a decision to die because not all religions lead to heaven. You got 400 on this side saying one thing, and you got another man on the other side saying, thus say the Lord. You're going to have to make up your mind who's right. Now back in our text in Matthew chapter 7, he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And somebody says, but what is truth? This side over here is saying one thing and they're saying another thing. How am I supposed to know? Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit.
Now that's a pretty good idea, isn't it? You can judge a tree by its fruit. I was down in Mexico one time talking with a man, couldn't read or write.
He said, well, how am I supposed to know what to believe?
And I said, are you a farmer? He said, yes.
I said, can you tell the difference between a good tree and a bad tree? I mean, a tree that's producing good fruit and a tree that's producing no fruit or bad fruit? He said, yeah. I mean, can you tell the difference between fruits that you can eat and fruits that will kill you? He said, yeah. I said, if you're smart enough to figure that out, you're smart to figure out who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. He said, yeah, but how can I know? I said, alright, so here's the list of good fruits and here's the list of bad fruits. Galatians chapter 5, look at it. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here's the bad fruits. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, hello, witchcraft, are you with me? Witchcraft, hatred, are you still with me? Variance, emulations, wrath, hello, are you with me? Smack him across the cheek, just because he had a different opinion. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, are you with me? Envyings, murders, talked about that just the other night, right? Now, Nick, watch this. Drunkenness, hello, are you with me? Got any drunkards here tonight? Been sipping the brews? Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now how can that be? Jesus said, the crew that does that kind of stuff, they're not going to get into the kingdom of God. This world and some of you tonight believe that no, all people are going to heaven. There is no hell. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if this is your fruit, then you're not getting into the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, all right? Can you tell the difference between good fruit and bad fruit? A good tree brings forth good fruit and cannot bring forth bad fruit. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Have you got it? He said you'd know them by the fruits. Now look back at our text in Matthew chapter 7 again. Look down at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Works, works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now notice what we got here. Now this is one of the toughest verses in the Bible. This is one of them verses that motivates me to go and preach the gospel. Because I sympathize with these people. Do you understand this is a prophecy. Jesus is telling us what's going to happen. There's going to be some people at judgment day who have gone through all of their life doing things, prophesying in the name of the Lord, casting out devils in the name of the Lord, doing wonderful works in the name of the Lord. I mean, according to the world, these are good people, and many of them are good people. I mean, they're just decent people. Have you ever met a Mormon? Most of the Mormons I know are decent people. I mean, they're just decent people. You ever met a Jehovah's Witness? Most of the time, they're decent people. Now, they can't talk straight. I mean, they talk like this. They got, you know, they never talk straight. But, I mean, you meet them on a job, they're just good, hard workers. You ever meet a Muslim? Generally, decent people. I know some fine Roman Catholics. I know some Roman Catholics put some of you to shame. I know some good Protestants put some of you people to shame. Do you hear me? These people went through, this is what Jesus said, they went through all their life thinking, hey, I'm going to heaven, I'm on the road to heaven. Thinking, I'm going to get in, I'm working harder than these guys are. Man, I've been to Mecca. Man, I've been to San Juan de los Lagos. I pray every day. You ever know some people like that? Jesus said they're going to get up there, and they thought they did good and wonderful works, but Jesus said they were workers of iniquity. And he says, I never knew you. You understand? Those are some powerful words. Some of you tonight are going to stand before the, I hope not, I really do, I hope not, are going to stand before the judgment of God, the great white throne judgment, and Jesus Christ is going to stand up, and he's going to say, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you, and then you lost it. He didn't say, I knew you, and then you jumped out of my hand. He says, I never knew you. I didn't know you when you went to church. I didn't know you when you was casting out devils. I didn't know you when you was helping the poor. I did never know you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Those are pretty tragic words.
And I'm sincerely burdened for you tonight. I don't want you to hear them words. I don't want you to hear them words. It is a sincere desire in my heart that you might know Christ Jesus. That you might know Him and that He might know you. I want you to be eternally saved. I want you to have eternal life. But you're going to have to make up your mind. Now quickly, turn to 1 Kings in chapter 18. There was another old prophet. No doubt he was probably a friend of Micaiah. His name was Elijah. And he had some dealings with that Ahab himself. Well, this time, it's Elijah against 850. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but I want to pick up on just one statement that Elijah made when he had his showdown. Maybe we'll preach this some other time, but just quickly. Verse 21. You got the showdown now, and Elijah comes, and he says, and he came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Now, this Elijah gave some good, pretty good advice. And I'm going to give you the same advice tonight. If you're convinced, the possibility is I'm wrong. I think I'm right. I really do. I believe I'm right. I believe in salvation by grace. Amen. I sincerely believe that you'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He'd save you. I believe that because in the book of Romans it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I believe that because when I called upon the name of the Lord 24 years ago in the basement of my home in Ypsilanti, Michigan, God saved me and my life has been different since then. That's why I believe it. Now, the possibility is I'm wrong. That is a possibility. I don't think so. I think I'm right. Of course, you think you're right, don't you? You think you're right. If you're sincere, of course, you're a hypocrite, and it doesn't matter anyway. I'm talking to sincere people, right? Hello, I'm talking to sincere people, right? Do you, some of you are Roman Catholics. I know some fine Roman Catholics, decent people. I call some of my friends. All my neighbors are Roman Catholics, some decent people. I mean, they'd help me out if I was in a jam. They have helped me out in a jam. When my boys got hurt, they were willing to help drive us to the hospital. I mean, they were decent people. Some of you are convinced that the Roman Catholic Church is right, aren't you? You're convinced the Roman Catholic Church... You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd be the best Roman Catholic there ever was. If I was sincerely convinced the Roman Catholic Church was right, you know what I'd do? I'd take my wife, and I'd take her down to the nunnery and say, honey, you're going to the nunnery, I'm becoming a priest. If I was convinced the Roman Catholic Church was right, hey, I'd sell out and I'd do everything the Roman Catholic Church said to do. I'd keep every sacrament. I'd keep every church law. I'd be confessing and I wouldn't be lying to that priest. I'd tell him every one of my sins. But some of you here tonight, you think the Roman Catholic Church is right, but you're not even a good Catholic. Now, it's one thing to have two different opinions. How long halt you between two opinions? If you're really convinced the Roman Catholic Church is right, then why aren't you the best Roman Catholic this world's ever seen? Some of you think. But your religion is right. I don't know which one you have, but you're convinced. Well, then why aren't you the best? Why don't you live that? Some of you think that in order to get to heaven, you ought to keep the commandments. Then I would just sincerely ask you, why don't you keep the commandments? And why do you continue to deceive yourselves when you don't keep the commandments? Why don't you just be honest with yourself once in your lifetime and recognize that you're a sinner? You don't keep the commandments. You don't even try to keep the commandments. And the only reason that you say that all religions lead to Rome is because you don't want to make a decision. That's what it says. You know what it says there? And all the people answered him, not a word. It's just easier for you just to say, it makes a good excuse. It makes a good excuse. If all religions lead to heaven, that means you have no responsibility. You don't have to search for truth. You don't have to make a judgment. You don't have to make a decision. It's just bread and butter all the way. Right? That's the problem with you here tonight. But God says you're going to have to make a decision. It's either or. If the Lord be God, then follow Him. If your religion is right, well, then follow that religion. More power to you. I'm doing my best to convince you that Jesus Christ is right. He is right. Now in closing, 1 John in chapter 5. We're going to close with this. I know I've been a little bit long. Look in 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. Some of you might be a sincere Muslim. You got a hard choice to make. Your prophet said God never had a son. The Bible says that God had a son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay. I've done my best to tell you that you can have eternal life. This eternal life is in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't get to God through me. You don't get to God through Mary. You don't get to God through religion. You don't get to God through sacraments. Jesus said, if you want to get to God, come through me. I'm the way. That's what he said. He said, he's the door to heaven. You want to be saved? Come to Christ. That's what I preach. That's what I believe this Bible teaches. You're going to have to make a decision. If you don't make a decision now, you're going to make a decision later, but it's going to be too late. And that's why we preach today is the day of salvation. And that's why I would encourage you, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to stand and sing number 246, softly and tenderly. I want you to come. If you're not sure of eternal life, I'd like to say today that you can have eternal life. If you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. If you were to repent of your opinions and your traditions and trusting in yourself and learn to trust in Jesus Christ, He'd give you everlasting life. Christian friend, you know I've been doing my best to preach and show the difference. Some of you need to be Elijah. Some of you need to be a Micaiah that stands up, and even though the whole world has said something else, you need to stand up for truth and say, thus saith the Lord. And some of you haven't been doing it. So it's going to be an opportunity for you also to get on your knees and call out to God. If God has spoken to you and you have some questions, you'd like some help, you just come down here and grab my hand. I'll be more than happy to try to help you find your way to God. Try to help you understand what the Bible says about salvation. If you're a Christian who would like me to pray with you, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. Some of these other brothers would be more than happy to pray with you. This invitation is for you. Do whatever God tells you to do.